Log Talk Radio.
Test 1, 2, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear you.
All right, beautiful.
Hey Juanita, did you turn your phone ringer down?
Yeah.
Amira?
No, the ringer on the phone.
Amira?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, but your phone is in front of the camera, so it's focusing on the phone and not you. There you go. Yeah, I was going to say you were blurry, but your phone looked clear. Perfect. There you go.
Well, this is our first time doing it outside of the studio, so let's see how it goes.
Right, fingers crossed.
I can't see you guys yet. I'm picking up something so I can actually see you guys.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Can everybody hear me?
I can hear
yeah.
you.
I can hear you, Amir.
Okay. You can go ahead and start the intro, please.
Okie doke. Here we go. Everybody, as they say, quiet on set. And I'm going to mute myself. See you on the other side.
Tune in and listen. Queens on a mission, dripping the mic on Sunday nights, presenting you with 2020 vision. So join us this day and every Sunday night with Amira the Songstress on Blog Talk Radio, a for sure way to start your week off right. 2020 vision on Drip.
22, 23 edition of Drip the Mic Network. All is well. Stay focused.
Hey, 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 you guys. Yes, it is 2020 Vision. We've made it back in here another Sunday. How are you guys? I hope all is well. Yeah, so this is a little different. Today we are Florida. We had to come out of town and come into Florida. We were celebrating something very special. And so I'm like literally broadcasting from my hotel room. But, you know, the show don't stop. There's no business like show business. We don't do this thing, you know. And in addition to that, we have some special guests, very special guests joining us today. And we have three special guests joining us today. Very, very important show today. And I named this one Unmute the Cotton Picking Truth after a movement that's been going on, started by Juanita Wissett, and as well as Timothy Arden Smith. And then we also have another special, actually surprise guest that's coming on to take us further into that information. So first and foremost, give it up for Timothy Arden Smith. Say hello, Timothy.
Hello, how are you? What a great intro. And thank you for having us on.
No, it's a pleasure.
And being courageous enough to have us on.
Oh, it's nothing. Also, we have Juanita Wissett joining us.
Hello, everybody from the Biggity Biggity Bay.
That's where you're at. You're in the Bay. Okay, good. So we're on the – well, we're technically right now we're not on the same coast, but on a normal basis we would be on the same. Right now, I think I'm on Timothy's time. Is Johnny Thomas online with us right now, or is he calling in later? Did he call in? Tony, did Johnny call in?
I don't see anybody.
Okay. Okay. So hopefully he'll be joining us pretty soon. This episode, again, is called Unmute the Cotton Picking Truth. But before we get started, I got to do a couple of shout-outs, and then we're going to get this show on the road. First of all, I want to shout-out my brother, Rocky Robinson. Rahman is his name, but we call him endearingly. We call him Rocky Robinson and his beautiful bride. They tied the knot. They got married. They jumped the broom, and that's why we're here in Florida today. You can see him and his beautiful bride, Mr. and Mrs. Robinson. Yeah. Just wanted to shout them out. And then another shout out is to Kobe Bryant and his family. So Kobe Bryant, shout out to Vanessa Bryant, but Kobe Bryant got inducted into the Hall of Fame, very well deserved. So wanted to shout him and his family, Vanessa, out. And there you see Michael Jordan actually presenting the award and just showing support to Vanessa. So just a very beautiful moment. I saw that over the weekend and really wanted to highlight that. And then we have my girl, Nicki Minaj. I love her. She's been on hiatus for a while. She just, you know, had a child, a son. I think she called him, is it Big Papa? What did she call him? Papa Bear. Papa Bear. And so she has been on hiatus, but she's back. The game is ready, baby. It's Nicki Minaj, you know. I love her. I just wanted to welcome her back. And she dropped she re-released a mixtape, and she put two new songs on that mixtape. So you guys go stream that. I have the name of it. Give me a second. I have the name of it. It's called Beam Me Up, Scotty. So it's a re-release, but she has two new singles on there. So you guys definitely go show her some love. Welcome back, Nicki. We love you. Okay. So we're trying to get everything together over here. It's going to be some follow-up bloops and blunders. I'm just going to warn y'all. It's going to be some. We're not in studio. So, you know, this is live. We do all this. We have a nerve to do this live. So, oh, yeah. So, and my Instagram family watching from the, you know, background. How are you guys? Okay, so we're ready to get this show on the road. Again, I want to welcome Timothy Smith Arden Arden Smith and Juanita Wissett. And so You guys remember about 3 weeks ago, I had Tobias Smith, the multimedia specialist, here on 2020 Vision, and we were just celebrating the life of a filmmaker. We were just highlighting all of the films and productions that he's been a part of, to include my short film and music video, Everything. So we were just here celebrating him, and one of the films that he produced was called The Cotton Picking Truth. And upon producing that film, they found that there were still slaves on the plantation. And so that was heartbreaking to me, but very interesting to say the least. And it made me want to do more. Fortunately, as God would have it, Juanita Wisset reached out to me on Facebook saying, hey, do you want an update? Do you want to know what's still going on, you know, with the slaves or with the I don't like calling them slaves.
I hate
saying that. So what I've been saying are American citizens that has been held captive against their will and against their rights on the plantation. Do I want an update on that? And I said, I sure do. I couldn't wait to have him on. Timothy Arden, he was a director on that particular film and is also involved with Unmute the Truth, Unmute the Cotton Picking Truth. So I thought it would only be right to have them on today. And without further ado, I would like to introduce Timothy Arden Smith and Juanita Wisset. Y'all give them a hand clap. Yes, 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 and yes. So I can't, you know, it's not like being in the studio, Tony. I can't hand clap. Well, I wanted to start out by getting to know you all. Timothy, first of all, I want to call you a multimedia specialist as well. I know you're a film producer. I know you've worked for Fox, NBC, and a whole host of other networks. And I just wanted the people to get to know you a little bit. And then I wanted to also talk about, you know, this passion. I'm going to call it a passion project. And, you know, why you decide to, you know, be a part of this film, you know, The Cotton Picking Truth, why you decided to be a part of that. But at first, I want the people to, you know a little bit about your background, where you came from, and where you started.
Let me see. It all started at a station called WBMX in Chicago, Oak Park, Chicago, which was an old folks home, which was not us.
Right.
And it was with Doug Banks, rest his soul. Doug was a legendary R&B announcer. He worked for ABC Networks. I don't know if a lot of people know him. You know, it was a syndicated show, and he passed away a little while ago. But Doug and I, we were like brothers and stuff. And I have to bring up Tobias because Tobias is my son. And if you read his bio, you'll see that, you know, he was brought up by a single father. Tobias actually was in the studio, sleeping in the studio, because early morning, we did morning drive, and I'm a morning drive, I guess you would call specialist. And so I couldn't get a babysitter. So I had to bring him to work with me. And we would have to make up a little spot for him in the studio for him to sleep, even until he was a little shorter and even going to school. So he literally grew up in the studio. So from there, from working in R&B radio, I ended up working in news radio for NBC. And from that, NBC Tower Chicago, I worked part-time in the news station, the television station. And then I got a job for Fox. Fox offered me some money I couldn't refuse. And then we moved to Detroit. And I think you're from Detroit. So we moved to your hometown, Amira. And yeah, so we moved to Detroit. And I worked for Fox, believe it or not, for a lot of number of years until it really, literally was making, physically and literally, making me sick. After we became number one, that was the goal, to become number one. and Rupert Murdoch knew it, he decided to put his agenda in it. So I would actually get headaches going to work. And Tobias told me, you know, Dad, quit. But I was like, you know, you're in school. I can't quit yet. But everything worked out. And Tobias actually started the film company when he was in high school.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so when I had early, I got early retirement from Fox. It worked. And that way I could work full-time on a film company. Now, the way the Cotton Picking Truth became a film, I was producing also for Radio 1, for Kathy Hughes, was a show called The Warren Valentine Show. And May Louise Miller was on the show. And, you know, I was just booking people on the show. She had a good story, you know. It was a, she was a, said that she was a, well, she didn't say it, but the, her handler was pushing her, you know, putting the word out there that they were slaves until the 1960s. So Warren and I was like, oh, this would be a good show. So Tobias was hearing the show as I was, you know, I was produced from home, and he heard it. And I was actually getting, you know, listening to other stuff and getting ready to book. And all of a sudden, he was like, Daddy. I was like, what? He was like, that's it. I was like, what do you mean that's it? He was like, that documentary that you've been telling me you've been wanting to do all your life. It has meat to it and everything. It's for real. And I was like, let's talk about it after the show. So after we talked about it, I told him about some of the dangers that we probably, if it was true, what we would end up dealing with and everything. And when we started, show you how the creator, or whatever anybody wants to call it, the creator, the universe works. We didn't have a camera. We didn't have the editing machine. We didn't have any of that. But it all came together as far as the camera, the Avid Media Composer, all of the computer system, everything came together. And it really, one thing that I'm so proud of my son is about, he took the money that he was going to use for his hip-hop career, he, you know, as a hip-hop artist, and he was like, this is more important. Let's go down to Mississippi. So he took part of his money and put it toward producing the film. And my thing was, okay, we'll go down there and we'll prove her wrong. You know, she can't be putting this kind of lie out here. We went down there and it was completely different. I mean, our heads were blown.
Wow. Wow. No, do tell.
It was just blown. Everything she said, we actually saw it. And you can see it in the film. Because I was like, okay, well, show us this. But show us that. You know, like, show us that you were a slave. Show us why it happened. And she showed us. And it's, you know, it's in the film. And then even after that, after we ran up on this plantation, and I understand, because I hate slave movies to a certain extent. But you know what? This film is not really a slave movie. It's about resilience and it's about love.
Informational. It was a documentary. So they were, you know, you were guys were actually giving us information this time. It wasn't a story told or his story. It was it was documented truth. So I believe that's the difference. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So we kind of still couldn't wrap our mind behind it. You'll see the part where we're leaving it, and the way our heads were like, I don't know if we want to call it a headache or what. It was just like, wow. So I was like, let's just make sure. Let's talk to people around the community. And they start saying the same thing. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So when we left there, the idea was, I was like, we are not stopping for anybody.
Right.
Like local police or anything, because it's up and down and it's up and down. And cell phones wouldn't work. You didn't even see planes flying over. It was a no-fly zone and stuff. So we had to get back on the main highway before our cell phones would work. And then we drove all the way back to Jackson, Mississippi, where we got the hotel to where we felt somewhat safe away from what we had just saw, because when the man in the white pickup truck, the second time he came, we saw him, it was like, we need to get out of here.
Right. You know? Yeah, yeah.
Time to go.
Yeah, yeah. So Juanita, I'm just very interested in your story as well. And I've been calling you an activist. I hope you don't mind.
No, it's fine. This is the first time I've come out publicly as an activist, actually.
Yes.
I've actually been on the DL for a lot of organizations, but this one was just, it hit me right there. And I knew I had to do something, but it had to be a different approach. And that's why I'm willing to come out publicly about this one.
So walk me through the moment. You know, how did you come across the film? How did you come to know Timothy and Tobias? And then what was that moment that it sparked in you that made you start to take action, at least putting together an organization?
Yes. So in 2010, I live in the West Coast, and I was listening to a public radio station.
Okay.
I heard Tobias's voice on the radio, and he had mentioned he was going to speak about slaves living on a plantation today in 2010.
Wow.
And I was just blown away. I thought, what? No way. Are you kidding me? So I sat there and I listened to the whole show, and he had discovered slaves living in the Mississippi Delta. Actually, he did not say they were slaves. He said that they were actually in bloodline with everyone from the Mississippi Delta. Everybody was there still, basically, their families, and they were living in horrific conditions. He had explained the conditions. He had explained his website and that he was being harassed, and he was at Hull in production at that time, making the documentary. So I went home that evening, went onto the website as soon as I could, and they got shut down. It said that it was, it did not say it was under construction. It said it was removed. The website was removed. It did not state why. So time went on, fast forward to 2020, and our society, everybody is watching America's society just fall loose at the seams.
Yes.
And all I can think about is the documentary.
Right.
Because everything he had mentioned on the radio, that there was real-time solutions for America to end all the racism, all the societies under one nation, that it was all in there. And so I said, I need to see this film. This is what we are going through right now. If somebody has a solution to this, I want to see it.
Right, right.
And so I decided to contact Timothy. And I contacted Timothy through Facebook. And he probably thought I was crazy. Like, who is this girl coming at me out of nowhere, asking me if she could be my Facebook friend and please show me that documentary. I know about it. And he just, you know, he opened up to me and he showed me the documentary and I was blown away. I could not believe it. But I'll tell you one thing, and for most of you that have watched it, you might agree with me. When you watch this documentary, you kind of see yourself in it as well. You feel it. You feel you're a part
right.
of all the truths they're speaking of. For me, that's what it was. It hit home. Now I had the answers as to why I was felt I was living in the second society, the worst part of it, my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, So once I saw the documentary, I asked him immediately the next morning, can I please start a movement to unmute this? What happened? Why don't I see this on Netflix? Why don't I see this on Hulu or Amazon, Timothy? What happened? And he started to explain to me what had happened. But yeah, so I decided
I was in such shock. I couldn't eat for about 2 weeks and sleep right. I did not get a good enough sleep. After the 2 weeks were up and I could think clearly again, I said, you know what? I'm going to check in. Has anybody checked in on Glendora in Webb, Mississippi? I checked
right.
in. And yeah. I made many friends across the Delta
mm-hmm.
in Tallahatchie County. And to reflect on what Timothy was saying about there being no aerial view, he's right. There's only, after the research, what I discovered is there's only one photographer that is allowed and permitted by the U.S. government to take pictures in aerial view. So there's only about two aerial view pictures of Glendora. You can only, you cannot barely see anything at all in these pictures. So
it's safe to assume that this is being hidden purposely.
Yes. After the research, I encourage all of you to Google Glendora, Mississippi. Just Google search it. Look at Wikipedia. Can someone please explain why the last time the census was printed on Wikipedia was 2000? 2000. We're now in 2021. Last we know, there was almost 300 people living in Glendora. Now, as of 2021, from what I hear from my friends that live locally, there's less than 200, I believe, and most are children that are living 86% under the poverty level. And 86% comes from the year 2017. Now, we all know there's a pandemic happening,
right.
And God only knows what it is now.
Right. Okay. Now, a little earlier, you mentioned that, you know, this was very personal for you, and it felt like you were actually kind of living. You saw yourself there. You saw yourself living almost in that situation. Can you kind of expound on that? And what was that personal connection for you?
Well, I'm Native American. And I'm Spanish and French and Mexican-American, but I'm mostly Apache. And just I think my Native American sixth sense is what it really hit the hardest.
Yes.
Remembering what my ancestors had went to and then bringing it over to modern day and thinking of everything I had experienced in my life. I grew up in foster homes.
Okay.
My grandmother raised me in Silicon Valley. Everyone says you're very fortunate for living in Silicon Valley. Well, my grandma was an immigrant. She worked her way up, and she is a Silicon Valley pioneer. She helped NASA create the clean rooms for hardware for computers. So with that background and having suffering in the state system and as a child and going through the motions as a single mom and just struggling in everyday life and wondering, why is it gotta be this? Why is it this way?
Yes.
You know, there's just so, when you go through that type of lifestyle, there are so many, you just go through questions that you feel like will never be answered your entire life. Well, guess what? That documentary, it answered a lot of questions. It really did. It did.
I can imagine.
Not only that, Charles Ogletree, I hope I'm saying his name correctly,
yes,
Obama's ex-advisor that's in the documentary, I mean, he hit it right on the nail. We are one nation living in under two societies right now when we are supposed to be one equal society.
A nation under God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so you started the movement, the organization, and so you started it with a private Facebook account. Is that correct?
Yes, the private Facebook account. I have private peace warriors that were working behind the scenes with me for all the research, gathering it all. It took us about 6 months to gather it all. And I just want to give a shout out to my Peace Warriors, to my Facebook group. Thank you so much for being through this journey with us. And we're just really excited about this moment right now. And we're thankful to you, Amira, for unmuting the Cotton Picking Truth. Now, everybody asks, well, why wasn't it unmuted when Amazon decided to pick it up? Because that wasn't the point of it. The actual documentary unmuted, I really did, first of all, I felt like Tobias and Timothy really deserve recognition for going out of their way to get all that truth, all that information, and going there, for being brave and just being there and rolling that camera and continuing to do it.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
did you find that most people, I'm just curious how you were able to just galvanize the people. Were they receptive to this movement? Did you get some resistance? Did you get some disbelief? I'm just curious, when you actually started this movement and started to reach out to people, what was the reception like?
So it was a lot of disbelief. And the reason being is we could not show the document. The documentary was not on Hulu. It wasn't on any social, high profile media outlets that they knew of, basically. So basically, I'm so sorry.
Just wondering, like, you know, the reception that you received, like you said,
it was a belief.
I can imagine.
So we are about 150 members. People are required to answer a security question to get into the group. So we have to make sure that we're screening out basically any, you know, haters. There's a lot of haters out there. And so that's what we do. We're very careful with it. But people were very receptive to it and shocked as well, and just could not wait to see the documentary also.
Wow. Now, you see haters, like, you know, if they're not with the movement, you would think they wouldn't even bother with it or come on your page.
Yes.
They actually want to come and, you know, disrupt the movement, really?
Yes, wasting all that time on, you know, bad energy and, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't understand. When will people learn? Actually, I'm just going to be very blunt about it. When will America learn that, you know, it affects us all? It's not just one class or society of people. That doesn't exist in this country, because that's, you know, that's not what this country was supposed to be founded on. You know,
yeah.
Just one set of people, one race of people, one nation of people, of course, but not one set or race of people. And so to just ignorantly think that this can keep happening and it's not going to affect the rest of our country is the most cut off your nose to spite your face thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, most definitely.
Gorgeous, Timothy.
Cut off your nose, wow.
Cut off your nose to spite your face. You know our mom.
You took me back with that one.
I know that people have been wondering, those who haven't seen it, the Cotton Picking Truth. First of all, I implore you to go out and just, you don't even have to go out. You could just sit in your living room, go to Amazon Prime and look up The Cotton Picking Truth if you haven't seen it. But I know some of us has been wondering what we've been referring to. This very important film, this very important documentary made over a decade ago that was released on Amazon. And we have another trailer from it. This is a trailer that I hadn't seen before. We had showed a trailer during the Tobias Smith interview. This is a different trailer, a little more in depth, and we're going to show that now. Tony, can you pull that up for me, The Cotton Picking Truth?
Here we go.
Well,
there it is.
You know, I was praying for my favorite Poe family and we was in slavery and had food, clothes, shoes. I was raped at an early age. I said maybe before I was five, about the age of five, that I got raped many times by these owners of us.
Well, when you stop and think about what you all have already documented, it's not shocking to me because this is America.
Can you hear me?
We all had been led to believe that somehow we were past slavery and its vestiges and we were moving on to a better day. Well, seeing the footage that I saw and realizing that many of my brothers and sisters are living in not only abject poverty, but all the vestiges of slavery, it was saddening, to say the least. And it really tells me that here on Capitol Hill, we have to have lawmakers talking about this very subject. This is not something that's going away anytime soon. And this matter needs to be addressed at the highest levels of the government.
This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you.
The cotton picking truth, still on the plantation.
Okay, I can barely hear that. Am I back?
You're back.
Okay. All right. I don't know how well they were able to hear that. It was kind of going in and out. But again, that was the trailer, and you can also go to thecottonpickingtruth.com to read more about the film and to also view the trailer. And maybe we'll try to show it again before we get off of here. I just don't know if it came out to the audience as clear. I wasn't getting it that clear. Okay, so moving right along, I wanted to actually get into the updates on the on some of the citizens that was on this plantation. And Juanita, you have not only been in touch with Darlene Hill, but she's actually your friend.
Yes, she is. She's a very, very good friend that I made, and I'm just, I love her so much. Just, it's just a beautiful thing, you know, when you can reach out, when the West Coast can reach out to the East Coast and we can make friends over the phone, it's that easy. I mean, she was very kind of shy in the beginning, but then eventually opened up. And then I also do have other friends across the Delta as well.
So tell us about Darlene, who she is, and what's her story or what's her part in all of this, to say the least. And tell us about her.
Yeah, so Darlene Hill grew up on Glendora. All of her ancestors are from Glendora. From what I've learned, all the other families, that's why they are still there. Their ancestors were there as well. The plantation that Darlene's family lived with in Glendora all their lives is called Due West Plantation. They have owned this plantation for well over 200 years. Darlene, I got a hold of her through a market. When I was contemplating to reach out and check in and make sure, hopefully, that things had rectified and were a lot better for them as far as living conditions, I decided I would reach out to a business. How am I going to get a hold of someone and how am I going to speak with them directly? And I thought a business. So I called the only little market they have in Glendora and introduced myself and talked about how I had seen their, I had watched and seen their village of Glendora on the Unmute the Cotton Picking Truth documentary. I explained that to her. And after I explained that, she's very receptive. And we just started talking. It just started to go into full bloom from there. And we started talking and sharing our different interests. And then, you know, I just decided as a friend to ask her, is everything okay? Is everything all right where you're living? Because in the documentary, it isn't. It's not okay. Are you aware of that? She didn't remember much from the documentary being filmed there.
How old was she?
I'm sorry?
Sorry, how old was she when the documentary?
She is not going to let me tell you her age. She's up there.
No. I was asking how old was she when that documentary was being filmed?
Oh, when it was being filmed, she was probably in her 60s, in her early 60s.
Okay. And Tony, do you have that picture of Darlene?
There we go.
All right. So her current status right now is?
She is still working at the little market. I did ask her, I checked in with her during the pandemic. And I asked her what they needed. Do you guys need anything? Has the county been able to bring masks yet? And things were just so chaotic with the pandemic, you know, so I don't want to bash the leaders over there or anything. So I decided and the group decided to send in masks. We sent in about 500 masks. We calculated the population, determined maybe if it's 250, each citizen would get 2 masks. So that's what we did.
So I guess the confusing, let me try to demystify this a little bit. Okay. So, for instance, Darlene, is she being held against her will? Is she working for less than whatever minimum wage would be? Is she working without pay? What is her current, or is it that in Glendora, everyone that lives there is living below poverty.
Yes, that's correct.
I'm trying to figure out.
Yes. So everyone
when I ask this question, I'm asking for everyone that's listening.
Okay.
Are they slaves right now? Are they being held against their will right now? Or is it that after slavery, the only thing that was left for them to live in was poverty, type of environment is what I'm trying to ask.
Yes. So basically that's what it's come down to. When I have spoken, you know, with Darlene and I asked her directly, why doesn't anyone want to leave there? Would everybody, if there was a better place to go to, would everybody be willing to leave? I don't think so, she told me. But she believes that they deserve to be there still because of the suffering that their ancestors went through. And they're still just hoping and wishing and waiting for the world to know that they're there so they can be redeveloped, so they can be noticed, basically. As far as being held against their will, I could never get that straight answer out. I'm going to tell you the truth.
It sounds like, if I understand you correctly, they're staying there because they believe that this is their land, that they work.
Yes, it's their territory. Yes.
And they're not going to leave something that they've built, but they need help. They need
help. Yes, they need a lot of help, a lot of help. I mean, you saw those homes.
Yes, those homes.
Tell me, you know, we all know they're not modernized inside.
Yes.
You know, I mean... yeah, definitely. That's exactly. She said she loves the beauty of Glendora and being home.
Okay.
But it's just that there is no opportunity there for them at all. There's not 30, 40 miles out to go get a job or to go get groceries at a big grocery store. You're talking, they are way out there, 30 to 40 miles out from a grocery store, or to get real work. Now, I had read from my research that FedEx went in there about 5 years ago and was shuttling residents from the Delta area to go work in areas like Tennessee and things like that. But then it had created even more hardship for the citizens because they were leaving and far away from their families for hours, going into these cities, you know, with all this uncertainty they're facing. And Darlene had expressed that as well. There, she told me there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty for them. Just think, if you are living so isolated and in such impoverished conditions, and all of a sudden somebody rescues you and they take you to a whole nother, it's like taking someone to a whole nother planet.
Wow.
And her, she did express that the uncertainty is what is really keeping them there, basically.
So is Darlene, you said, is Darlene Mayor Johnny Thomas's sister?
Yeah, so I, throughout the course of our friendship, I had learned that she, Johnny B. Thomas, that is in the documentary, was her older brother.
Okay.
He
was a slave too. You know, he said in the documentary that they grew up also in slavery. Mm-hmm. Now, is he still the mayor? We haven't talked to him in so many years.
Yes. Yes, I believe so. He's still the mayor. Mm-hmm.
Were you able to get any updates, Timothy, since you guys shot the documentary?
No, the only thing that we got was threats.
Oh, my
God. I keep hearing you say that, and I even heard Juanita say that Tobias was getting harassed. Anybody want to expound on that, Timothy? You want to tell me what was going on?
Actually,
I keep on saying I'm brave. Hey, I'm just a journalist. I'm just trying to unmute the truth.
No yeah, problem. Well, we believe in a high power, especially
yes.
Men. So, you know, those were our that was our protection. And Minister Farrakhan, he actually changed one of his speeches after he saw the film. What do they call it? The big thing that they have every year.
I thought you were gonna say the final call, but
the big gathering. I can't think of it right now, and I should. But anyway, Minister Farrakhan, he provided us with some Jackson 5, Michael Jackson type of security for a while. And
that type of Jackson 5, Michael Jackson what?
Type of security.
Security. Oh, so in
type
other words.
Security. Yeah.
Very
good security.
Very good security. Very strategic. Okay.
Yeah. Even though we didn't even know it. A lot of times we didn't even know it. But when we go out, like for instance, when we did the premiere, we had top-notch security. So Mr. Farrakhan came through very good. He also sent people down to Glendora to the farm to try to get them to leave.
Okay.
They would not leave. They would not leave. You know.
And that's the part I want to know. That's the part I'm sure a lot of us want to know because, again, the first thing that happens when we hear this belief, like, no, that couldn't be possible. And second thing is, you know, why didn't someone tell? Why didn't, you know, someone tell the authorities, like, are you serious? How were they able to get away with this? And then the other thing would be, okay, so if the people actually tried to leave, what would happen? And you're saying now that, you actually tried to get them to leave or you were part of trying to get them to leave and they wouldn't do so. But did they have the option to?
Yes, with Mr. Pecan came down there, he brought it. They had the option to. And they've been having the option to before this. We even found out. But in the great words of Dick Gregory, does the word conditioning come to mind?
Right, exactly.
You know, so, and everybody in that whole area. So this is the area where Emmett Till's body was found.
Yes, I understand.
You know, there's a bridge there where his body was found, and it's like grown over. So it's like they don't even want to make a, in other words, that didn't happen. You know,
right.
Like if you look in Texas, like they want to take this completely out of history and everything.
Right.
So it's American history, you know, whether it's bad or not, you got to know, you got to know your past to move forward in your future.
Mm-hmm.
there was something I wanted to say about.
Well, I wanted to ask you, you said Minister Farrakhan went there and they and gave them the option to leave. So did he go there with soldiers? Did he go there with, you know, the level of protection to get them out of there? You know, what happened?
Well, he didn't go personally. He sent people down.
Okay.
You know, and soldiers was there. And as I, there were even buses, like, come on, let's go. You know, we'll help you relocate. Guess they didn't want to go to cold Chicago either. But,
So when the people that he sent in, I'm trying to be very clear. I'm going to ask you about a million times to get the answer. When the people that Farrakhan sent,
mm-hmm.
they were people providing protection and a way for them to get out. So they went in there and did they deal with the powers that be? What did they say to the, you know, to the,
they didn't,
I hate to even say this, the master, slave master, whoever, who were they dealing with?
They were dealing with the people. See, so when you, the part that we showed, and when you see the shanties, I don't even want to call them shanties, they're shanties, because they're very, it's like, that's Tornado Alley, too. And those homes have been there for hundreds, for decades, for centuries.
They're called
Yeah, and the tornadoes didn't take them down. So that's one thing you got to think about. It's
okay.
like a piece of wood, and that's it. And the floors had holes in them, for real. Straight up holes in them. The kids talked about, they were just like being asleep, and they were like, well, a rattlesnake is good because it always rattles, so you hear it. And they were just like being asleep, and they just, so you just grab the snake and wring the neck, just like a chicken, and get rid of it, you know, kill it, eat it, whatever, you know. And
wow.
May talked, yeah, and so when, what May did before she died, she took us to the barn. So May was in chattel slavery, like, I hate to use that word anyway, but that's the only way to use it. You know, where people got beat, they got whoopings,
yes.
which were really beatings every day. Not only her daddy, her sisters, everybody, even the white people that were on the plantation. So they had them separated. They had the black people and they had the white people. The only difference, the white people could pay themselves after they worked for 7 years, they would pay themselves out of slavery. But they would get beat just like the black people. So they were...
How did they capture them? How did they capture the white people?
The thing was, okay, so if you do a crime or you suppose a crime, you would go on a farm, which is the penitentiary. The farms are the penitentiaries.
Okay.
And that's the free labor. So the white people probably really did do a crime, but black people would just get pulled off of the street and, you know, get made up that, okay, you robbed such and such, or you look at this white woman. You know, that kind of stuff.
Wow.
And so you go to jail and you have the option, okay, do you want to go into the hard criminal penitentiary like the chain gang penitentiary, or do you want to go on the farm penitentiary? What are you going to choose?
Of course, you're going to say farm. Oh, a farm. Like, yes, you know, just make it a farm. Okay.
Yep. So those little houses, we talked to them and the adults there. And you're talking about skin so pretty. Oh, my God. I have never seen skin that beautiful, you know. And you could tell, they talked about a man in a white pickup truck. Overseer, actually.
Okay.
And you could look and see some of the kids that were half black, half white.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You could look and you could see it.
Yes.
And we kind of had to change the documentary. I don't want to go off too much into it because of legal reasons, but there was a thing, you know, there are legal ways to do documentaries. You don't want to show kids' face. And somebody wanted to show the faces, and so we had to do a lot of changes. So you'll see a documentary, we won't show the kids' face. We didn't show it, but we let you hear some of the audio.
Yes. We're in the shanties. They're not really called houses because, you know, they're small and they're not efficient, right?
Right.
And when Farrakhan sent his people in,
mm-hmm.
did they face the man in the pickup truck or... Or what?
See, they're cowards. They didn't come.
See, that's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. The pickup people, no, they didn't come. They were like, we ain't doing this. We are, no, we ain't going there with them.
Okay.
They, you know, they knew how to come down there. And what Farrakhan people told us, they would not leave. They were like, and we kind of had told them it's going to really be hard to get them to leave. And they didn't leave. And, you know, they didn't leave. That conditioning.
Wasn't because they had to fight off any of the people that were holding them captive. It was just that that's their home as far as they're concerned.
Yeah, their mindset, their home, you know, that's their land. But they don't own anything. So when we talk to people outside of that little strip, so to speak, the other people, everybody that owned the homes around there,
yes,
was owned by the person who owned the plantation. So the plantation owner or the land owner,
yes,
the vast, all his land, the city, the houses, the yes. one family, they own Glendora.
Okay.
So, you know, like somebody died, like if you had a decent house and you were black and you got old and then you passed away, so when you die, that home would not be, and I'm your brother or whatever, that home would not be our family home. It never was.
Yeah.
It would go back to the owner of that plantation.
Mm-hmm. So now the owners of the plantation, did they not stay on the live on the plantation as well?
Yeah.
So there is no one overseeing them.
The guy in the cup truck.
He just comes through every now and again.
Yeah, he comes through. And the other thing, they have like the big John Deere trucks, things with the air conditioning and the television in them and stuff. So the guys, it's so sad because like we saw the guy, he came in, you know, he came in from the field and he was married to this one woman. And they had the real pretty skin.
Yes.
And he had dark skin. You know, Delta is real hot, very hot. So he came in. So he was very dark skin. She was dark skin. But they had this child that had like half white.
Oh, wow.
And he looked at us funny. You know, so we don't know which one of them called the guy in the white truck. But they were like, you're not here because we went in disguise as like social workers that was gonna, you know, we give out toys and clothes and stuff.
Yes.
But, you know, he actually saw what was going on because they were doing that over there. I mean, Tobias was over here interviewing and filming people and stuff and trying to get the lowdown. So when he came in, we were actually talking to his wife and the wife's sister. And he saw it, so he looked at us funny. He went back out, you know, went back to the field and stuff. So instead of what's the difference between me and them, instead of having a million black men out picking cotton, which they, it's not cotton, it's not king anymore. It's that bean that we should eat. What is that bean, Darlene? It's a bean, oh my God. But soybean.
Oh, soybean. Okay. And what are they? Oh, okay. Well, soy. All
yeah,
right.
So
they're speaking.
Oh, yeah. So this is the thing. Let me get to the nitty-gritty point.
Yes, honey. Get to the nitty-gritty because that's why we're here. We want the nitty-gritty.
Okay. So soybean is one of the main ingredients, the reason humans shouldn't eat it. It's one of the main ingredients in making plastics.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So. Yeah. They still have cotton down there, but not as much as soybeans.
Okay.
So the United States government, and so if we could go down there, don't you think that the Justice Department does know it's happened?
Yeah, that's what's crazy.
And, yeah, so they've been the one that was happening. We just happened to kind of like expose it, I guess, with the film. And that's why they was trying to get rid of my son and me. That's one thing that I talked to you earlier.
Yeah.
Like, Tobias, do you know it's gonna be a little bit dangerous. But anyway, So soybean is one of the number one things in plastic. Plastics is the number one thing in making weapons, planes. You know, some of the new, probably shouldn't say this, but the new fighter jets are 100% plastic. So that's why the radar will not pick them up. Everything on the new fighter planes that you don't see and you don't know about, but let me tell you, and this is not conspiracy theory. This is the truth. Plane 100% plastic. Bombs, as you know, missiles, all of that, that's a common thing. They're plastic. So, and everybody knows that we put much more money in military and weapons than we do as far as feeding our people.
Wow.
You know? Yep. So those people down in Mississippi and Arkansas, because the Delta goes through Arkansas and Mississippi, that own all of that land, and the reason Congressman Benny Thompson can't do that much or didn't want to interview us after he was on the Warren Valentine show, and I could call him up, hey, we need you for this, we need you today. Okay, I'm here. But when we went to tape him and talk to him about that, he was always too busy.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is, I believe, this is what I believe, that they have to make a contract with the government, and they've been having a long time contract with the government that we're going to supply you with the main ingredient to make plastic for the government.
Right.
For war. And okay, so in turn, you got to let us do what we're going to do. We're going to keep this quiet. Or, you know, we can make a contract. Oh, so the United States, y'all want to give us a problem? Well, we'll make that contract with China. You know, this is a free country. You can do that. But the government or somewhere, somebody somewhere knows what's going on. I mean, if we could go down there, they could have been going down there. As I understand, they just made a film about it. My girl, Janae, you know.
Film on set, yeah. When I, you know, so the other couple of weeks ago when we did the interview with Tobias and we was watching the trailer and even the documentary, and I said, wow, so this is where they got the information, you know, for the film, the film that Janelle Monae just did not too long ago. I was like, it's very reminiscent of the documentary, you know, and again, you're thinking, how could this be? How could this be happening? But like you said, they know. And then I understand now when you explain everything, I kind of, you know, I have a more clear understanding of what's going on because, you know, we already have prison reform trying to happen. But if the same people that were okay with prison system as it is, which is slavery, modern day slavery, then why wouldn't they be okay with somewhere in Glendora and somewhere in Mississippi, you know, people are still being, you know, enslaved and living in poverty? Why would they not be okay with that if right here, you know, right here, everywhere on the West Coast, on the East Coast, Central, there is a prison system that has failed all of us. All of us.
All of us.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get into another video that I pulled. I actually found this one on your page, Juanita, and it talks a little more, it goes in a little more depth about Glendora and Mississippi, and just to kind of show people what's still happening, I want to get into that video. Before I do that, I think we do have some chatters. At least
and
one.
Just for the record, if I can say it, Mira, in 2010, economic developers did go to Glendora to devise a plan to rescue the town from poverty.
Okay.
They actually did go there, and what they had come up with was Emmett Till, the story of Emmett Till, the history there.
Yeah,
and Mayor Johnny Thomas was a big part of this, and they ended up constructing the Emmett Till Interpret Center. And so a lot of visitors do visit Glendora now because of this center.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
The money isn't going to the community. I don't know if it's, we would have to clarify with Mayor Thomas if they're getting some of that money. But from what I hear from my other friends, Unfortunately, the Due West Plantation has not been very generous to their community. They used to select a couple children from the community to go in as an intern into their business, an internship, but that's it for the most part.
Wow. Wow. Well, Tony, can you do me a favor and pull up a video?
I can.
Okay. Show us updates on what's going on in the South.
Here we go.
All righty.
We lived on, I don't know what would you call it, but something like a plantation to me. It belonged to several different white people. They all were family, I guess. And you couldn't leave. And if you did leave, they either come get you or have somebody kill you or whatever, whatever. That's what happened.
What did they do to your mother?
They just had my mother, you know, the white men. You know, they just do what they want to do with her. And I just wasn't big enough to do that. If I would have been, I don't know, probably wouldn't be.
And this was in the 1950s or 40s?
That was only through the 40s, in the 50s, all through the 50s, and part of the 60s.
So what would the repercussions be if you tried to leave or if you tried to refuse what they wanted?
Back in them days, it was kind of like you had to do what the white man said or get killed. Dad and uncle, he made him dig a grave and kill him. Kill him, bury him in his own grave. Jerry Dawson killed him. He lived right on the same place he lived it on. He left and said he wasn't coming back. They wouldn't got him. Bought him back, carried him right down there from his house, killed him. Hung him up in a tree.
They hung him?
They killed him first, castorized him, and hung him up right from his house where he killed him and everybody could see him.
Were you aware that this is 1940s, 1950s, that... this is insane. Arthur, this breaks my heart to hear this story. Growing up, were you fully aware, this is in the 40s and 50s, you know, the civil rights movement is just about to begin. Were you aware of what was going on in the rest of the country at that time for black people pursuing freedom?
No.
You know, you weren't aware at all that there was any pursuits for freedom in the 40s and 50s for us?
No, not really.
I didn't need to hang up. Okay. There's a picture that that we sent you, Tony. Can you show that? It's about a restaurant manager who forced a black man to work without pay. Yeah, that one. Okay. I'm just going to read this because it wasn't a video. I was hoping it was a video, but it was not. Again, I got this from your page, Juanita. You're unmute the Cotton Picking Truth. But this was published May 3rd, 2021, a restaurant manager who forced a black man to work without pay owes him more than $500,000 in restitution. And the court rules that, and just a little bit about it, a South Carolina man who was forced to work over 100 hours every week for years without pay and subjected to verbal and physical abuse, in restitution after his former manager pleaded guilty, but that initial amount was too low. A court ruled in April the man should have received more than double that amount, closer to $546,000, from the manager to account for federal labor laws, according to the ruling. John Christopher Smith was forced to work at a cafeteria. I don't know what that noise is. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's some background noise. John Christopher Smith was forced to work at a cafeteria in Conway without pay for years. His manager, Bobby Edwards, pleaded guilty to forced labor in 2018 and was sentenced to ten years in prison for this abuse of Smith, which was a black man who was intellectually disabled. I want to get into his story a little bit. okay, it's telling about, okay, this is what I wanted you guys to hear. Smith started working at the cafeteria as a part-time dishwasher when he was 12. According to the recent ruling, his first 19 years of employment there, when the restaurant was managed by other members of Edwards' family, were paid. But when Edwards took over the restaurant in 2009, Smith was moved into an apartment next to the restaurant and forced to work more than 100 hours every week without pay, according to the ruling. Edward affected this forced labor by taking advantage of Jack's intellectual disability and keeping Jack isolated from his family, threatening to have him arrested and verbally abusing him, the ruling reads. Smith feared Edwards, who once dipped metal tongs into grease and pressed them into Smith's neck when Smith failed to quickly restock the buffet with fried chicken. The ruling says Edwards also whipped Smith with his belt, punched him, and beat him with kitchen pans, leaving Smith physically and psychologically scared, according to the ruling. So, you know, justice is actually being served in this case. He gets, you know, Smith gets 10 years in prison, and then he has to pay over $500,000 to Edwards. So, you know, there was some justice served in this case. But just to think that these type of things are still going on, it is sickening. It is sickening, sickening, sickening. I understand when you say, Juanita, that you couldn't sleep for days and you were physically and mentally sick. And I understand when you say, Timothy, that when even shooting this documentary, you became physically and mentally, emotionally sick. It is sickening at the savage acts of people. I can't even believe that we call these people human beings. I can't believe it. It's disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourselves. You should be shame on you. Shame on you to come into this world to take somebody else's right to freedom and choice away from them when God said, thy will is your will to be done, not to take away somebody else's free will to live, a healthy and loving and just being able to live, to live life. The fact that you came into this world and decided to take someone else's life, shame on you. You're disgusting. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Amira. Well said.
Just
very well said.
It's just upsetting. It's just upsetting. You guys, the call-in number is 646-378-0355. Press 1 if you want to add your voice to this conversation, if you have any questions from anyone on our panel. We were expecting the actual mayor of Glendora to call in. He was also, you saw him in the documentary. And if you haven't seen the Cotton Picking Truth documentary, go watch it today on Amazon Prime. But you saw the mayor in the documentary, and he actually has a book. Did we get a picture of his book, Tony? No. Yes. Tony, can you show just a picture of his book? He was a former slave, and he was a part of this documentary. We thought he was going to come on and speak with us today, but that's okay. We understand that this is a very private and personal matter. It's hard to come forth. And I'm sure it's harder for the people that are involved and or were involved than it is for me to come out and say these things. And, you know, we just hope one day everyone has a voice and feels safe enough to come and allow their voice to be heard. In the meantime, Johnny, the mayor of Glendora, actually wrote a book. And what is the name of that book? I can't see it from here. Tony,
A Stone of Hope, I believe.
And then it has some other subtitles as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, can you say it?
If I can read it with my old middle-aged eyes. A Stone of Hope, Rising Above Slavery, Jim Crow, and I might be Poverty in Glendora, Mississippi.
Yes, yes. And that's told from the horse's mouth, you know, so to speak. He was a former slave. Then he was a mayor of that area. And something is even though he wrote this book and even though he was a part of the documentary, something even in 2021 is preventing him from coming as public as we would like for him to speak out. So just keep that on your mind. If you're wondering what the hell and how the hell this keeps happening or why is this happening, imagine being a former slave, then becoming a mayor of that same county, and but still in 2021, not, you know, very cautious about still public speaking about this. Imagine that. Imagine that. Horribly wrong. Horribly. But I ask you guys to go and check his book out. I'm sure it's factual. I'm sure it is. And, you know, you can also find that on Amazon. But check that out, and let's get, you know, let's get some understanding about what's going on in our country that we built. Dig that.
Yeah. And Glendora is only one spot that is going on. It's going on in other places.
Okay.
In this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? Why?
That's a question to be asked.
Yep, and that's the question to be answered. You know, it all boils down to the insurrection that just happened. All of it's tied together. This country, something's got to happen. It's got to change. I do have hope, though. The young people, the young, what they call millennials, I love them. They don't play.
Not at all.
They don't play at
all.
So they're picking it up. So we should be okay.
There's definitely I feel like there's a lot of awareness coming out with the pandemic, which has sort of been a blessing. A lot of things have been exposed. They just have.
We've all been.
You know,
go ahead.
The film, as filmmakers, you do a film and you kind of have to let it go and move on to try to, you know, keep money being made, keeping a roof over your head, keeping food in your stomach. And it just came back. It just came back on us, you know, with Juanita, with you, with a lot of people and stuff. So far, I just checked it since you and Tobias was on, so it's been over 1 million streams.
What?
Yes.
Yes. Give that a hand.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So when you first did it, when you first did the interview with them, it was like 1 million and a million and some thousand streams. But
yeah.
Now it's over 2 million streams.
Oh, my God. Yes. Okay, so we are doing good work here, you guys. Come on, you guys. I know you guys are seeing me on IG behind the scenes, and I know you guys can't see the guests today and hear what's going on, but it's about unmuting the cotton picking truth. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we had Tobias Smith on, and he was the producer of the film, The Cotton Picking Truth, about slaves still being on the plantation, even in 2009. And so everyone went on Amazon Prime and watched that video. So it's not too late. It is a documentary. It is a very factual-based film to include the mayor of Glendora, who was the former slave, and he added on to the information and the knowledge that we received through that film. So please, you guys, you know, I know we want to do something. I know we want to take action. First, start out by educating yourself on what's going on in our country. I'm not going to act like I knew. I didn't know. I mean, as a black woman, you hear that it's bad down south, and I'm in Florida right now, y'all. So. But you know, hey, we tried to go to Cracker Barrel earlier. anyway, don't go there. No, but let me stop. But what I'm saying is that you guys from everywhere, it's time for us to galvanize ourselves as a people, and this is not just about one race of people. It's about us all. And, you know, and even the fact that they are white slaves on the plantation, see, we get that truth. We don't get that truth. You know, we think it's just black people. We don't even get the truth that it's brown people sometimes. We don't even talk about the Native Americans as well. You know, I mean, they got it, like, I'm not going to say the worst, but it was harsh. It was harsh. Imagine you inviting someone into your home and teaching them how to feed themselves, teaching them how to properly clean themselves, because they were savages. They were barbaric. We gave them everything, and then they killed us for it. Imagine that. So you guys, it's time. It's a new world. You hear the scary, oh, new world order. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a better place to raise our children, to raise our family. This madness has to stop. And at the top of it, it's not even racism. Y'all think all of this is because of the color of somebody's skin? Come on. We got to be smarter than that, people.
Yeah.
At the top of it, it's greed.
Yeah.
Because if you kill all the people, or if you wear all the people down, or if you enslave all the people, and this is to those who are the most, who benefits the most from this. If you hurt the people, who's going to be around to buy your products? Because at the very root of this, it's greed. So what are you going to do when we're all locked up? When we're all dead? When we have all lost our minds? What are you going to do then? We know you don't know how to work for yourself. You don't know how to create anything. All you know how to do is, what's that word am I looking for? Not misappropriate, because that's one thing.
Control, maybe?
The other thing, when they take and sell everything. We create it, they sell it. We pick the cotton, they sell it. Y'all know what you know what I'm saying. What are you going to do? This is, at this point, it doesn't even make any sense. You know, so this involves everyone. This is not just a one race, one group of people situation. This involves everyone. And it is not a mistake in 2021 that it's being told and showed. It is not a mistake that people are willing to step up and speak, those who were never willing to do so before. Even the bless her, your friend in Glendora, who we speak of, Darlene Hill, even the fact that she was willing to even let her picture be showed and let you represent her today, Juanita, that was, you know, that's definitely a blessing, but that was different. That wasn't what was going on back in 2009. You know, she wasn't willing to say a thing. But even in this day, 2021, that she's willing to at least let her voice be heard, even if it's through you, Juanita, that's more than a step in the right direction, but it should also let us know that it's time.
Yeah.
It's time, y'all. It's time for a change. It's time to make it go. Make it go. The whole world has had to stop and pay attention to what's going on in our country. Let me say it again. The whole world had to stop and pay attention to what's going on in this country, in our country. It wasn't happenstance. Not at all. It's time. So I implore you guys to get out there. Now, for those of you that want to help and wondering what we can do to help, just where we can start, Juanita has some suggestions for us to help. You sent me a beautiful email with some information, and we're going to show that information, Juanita. But can you tell the people a couple of things that you think they can do to help?
Yes, absolutely. So Benny Thompson from Congress, he is in charge of that district. He's in charge of the entire Tallahatchie County. On Benny Thompson's Facebook, he urges you to call him directly. There's an actual call button on his group page. Press that button, get on the phone, speak with his office, ask him what we can do to put an end to this. I'm not saying to be aggressive to him, to be mean, to send hateful words or emails, because like we said, the pandemic has exposed a lot. America is hopefully, on riding the great pains of change right now. That's what I'm hoping. And with that, just kind of when you call him with mindfulness and compassion,
You know, let's rectify this peacefully, but at the same time, let's see what we can do. Ask him, what can be done? What can you do? Because Benny Thompson, from what I know, if you go through his timeline on Facebook, you will see he's growing too. You can easily say, well, he's a leader that didn't care all these years. Well, a lot of them have woken up because of the pandemic and because of George Floyd and all these other horrific things that America is enduring right now.
Let me say something real quick, too. He has grown. And one thing you'll see, George Wilson, who passed away, most people in the documentary has mysteriously passed away, but it's a thing that politicians call heat from the street. So yes, if you do contact Benny Thompson's office, what he has is like the people want us to make a change. And so he can go to Congress then and say, look, that the people, so many people are saying, we got to change this. And so that gives him some clout or some juice, so to speak. So I'm sorry, but go ahead, Monique.
No, yes. Thank you, Timothy. And secondly, one of the most important things we can do is send food or clothing or Visa gift cards to Glendora. They are in a great need of things. They are way out there, like I said. They are 30 to 40 miles from an actual grocery store, from actual real work. And just think of the toll that the pandemic has placed on them, even more so. And you can send those, I hope America can maybe put a link up or something, but yes. Those things.
Can
yeah.
You hear
me? Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Tony, the number for Benny Thompson, I have sent that to you. Can you put that up first before we get ahead of ourselves? We have that number. Juanita was speaking about being able to call. Is the number on there as well?
Yes.
Okay. It's so little.
202-225-5876.
Okay.
202-225-5876.
Okay. And then in order to find his Facebook, Juanita, we just go Benny Thompson?
Yes, search Benny Thompson, congressman, and you will find, he will pop up right there. And then as far as, I just want everybody to remember what Timothy said, his story about the children he saw there, and they were speaking about snapping snakes so they can have some dinner. Just think about that. They need a lot. We saw those homes, and that's Darlene's biggest dream, is restoration, for somebody to come in and help them rebuild their homes, modernize them.
Okay.
When they had that last winter, the last winter freeze in the South, they had to relocate everybody over into a town over so they would be safe. And thank God they did. I was very thankful to hear that they had did that, because I had checked in on her. But yes, you can send everything to Glendora, directly to Darlene Hill.
Okay, we have the address. Tony,
okay, great.
Up there.
Say that one more time.
The address to Darlene Hill. I sent an address to you.
Oh, I didn't get that. Let me look and see if I can find it.
Okay. It's we can do it right now, as a matter of fact.
Perfect.
Yeah. Hold on. Do you see it, Henry? I want it on the screen, Juanita. I know you want to say it, but let's have it on the screen.
I am sorry.
So people can get it.
Yes.
So we'll put that address up. But go ahead and finish what you were saying, Juanita, and we'll get that address up as soon as he gets it over to him.
Yeah, so just try to remember what Timothy said about those kids snapping snakes to eat. And not only that, with the pandemic, it's taken a toll on them. They already couldn't get good enough work. Just think of how things have doubled down on them. They are late on their rent. They are late on their bills. So they need a lot of help. Gift cards would help with that.
that's where that would come into play to help, definitely.
So what would we need to do to get a transit system running through there? Because it doesn't sound like they're able to get into town easily.
Yes, so that's another thing, you know, of course, that needs to be rectified. I believe before the pandemic, there was some type of transportation for them to go in and out of the town. But as soon as the pandemic happened, they went on a complete lockdown, and they're pretty shut down still. They're closed in.
And so I know they have, you know, it was the plantation was a farm as well. Is that farmland still there? Are they able to farm and grow at least fruits and vegetables?
If they can afford to in their own yard, that farmland is the huge farmland is just being used for the Dewes plantation's purposes for their profit.
Which is still slavery in effect.
Yeah, so basically they have, like Timothy said, it's mostly soybean. There is cotton. The machines take the cotton now, but they still can work. You can see videos. Look up videos on YouTube. Look up Glendora, Tallahatchie, or Webb, and you will find videos of people living on that plantation saying they only make, and this was as of 11 years ago, and we all know that the wages haven't changed much in America. So 10 years ago, they were making for a full day's of work, 8 hours, $20, just chopping down the cotton stalks for the stalks that were left, not the actual cotton, but the stalk with an axe, 8 hours a day, $20 a day is what they were making.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
And that video, you can find that video on my group page on Facebook. And I do encourage everyone to please join us. Please join as we move into the next phase of this movement. And once again, thank you so much, Amira, for unmuting the Cotton Pickin' Truth still on the plantation, for giving Tobias and Timothy, for letting their story out. And such an important story for America to hear. But more importantly, forgiving Glendora for putting Glendora on the map, basically, is what has been done here. Because like Darlene says, they are just small and out in the middle of nowhere. And she really felt like nobody really knew about them, basically.
Okay. And then Tony, did you get Juanita's Facebook page, unmute the Cotton Pickin' Truth? Do you have a picture of that?
I will get that right now.
Thank you. It's a private group, so I thought, you know, maybe we should maybe we had sent it to you. But okay, we're gonna put that up so people can see where to go, and maybe a link so they can, you know, see where to join. And I understand that it's a private group, so they will be asked a couple of questions. What are those questions again, Juanita?
I'm sorry?
The questions that they'll be asked before they're able to join your group on Facebook.
Just security questions, basically as to the nature of what type of change do you want to see in America? Why do you feel strongly about this movement, basically? Just to make sure people are compassionate and that they are, you know, they're in it. They're not just there to play around or to be a hater, basically. We got to weed out the haters.
That's right. You hear that, people? No foolery. No foolery. Believe me, there's enough channels and there's enough platforms where you can express your hate. But not on this one. It's
exactly.
Unmuting the Cotton Pickin' Truth and no foolery. You know, I implore you, if you are passionate about the people, if you believe in justice and freedom for all, if you believe in health care, and love, if you just believe in love, this is a group that you know, I think you will want to join. This is a place, this is a starting place for us, a bouncing off place, if you will. We have a lot to do. We have a lot of work ahead of us. Lord knows there is spiritual wickedness in high and low places. All my light bringers, all my light workers, you know what we got to do in the spirit. And this is a call to you. All my light workers, you know how we get down in the spirit. We got some work to do now that we have the knowledge. We have to free our people. And our people reach all the way across the universe. It's not one set of people. That's the lie that's been told.
Yeah. See.
Let's just start here. Let's start here. She gave us some resources to start with. You can go directly to the source and send food, gift cards, masks. Even if you're, even if you are a group of doctors that are accustomed to going across the world to help people that are impoverished and therefore they're sick because of it, right here in our own backyard, right here in our own country, right across town, right across the way, you know, send the doctors there, send the healers there, send the light bringers there, and call Congress. Call Congress, because unfortunately that's where it starts, with the government, with those who govern our country. Those who we have entrusted to govern our country are allowing this shit to go down on their watch. Think about that. Do we got a caller? Okay. Who's on the line? Who? Okay, we have Rome on the line. Rome, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good. It's a beautiful night.
It is. It is. Do you want to add on to the conversation or ask any questions of our panel?
No, I came in like in between, so I didn't get to hear much of what was going on. So I can't add nothing like, but it sounds positive, so I'm with it regardless of anything. So keep that going, but I can't really speak on it because I didn't get to hear much of it from start to finish.
Okay. Well, Rome, let us tell you really quick, because we're going to be getting off here pretty soon. What's going on right now is we're unmuting the cotton picking truth. A couple of weeks ago, we did an interview on Tobias Smith, who produced a documentary called The Cotton Picking Truth. You can find it on Amazon Prime. And right now we have Timothy Smith on our panel, which is the director of that film and the father of Tobias Smith. And he has been here to provide us an update on what's going on. Unmute the Cotton Picking Truth is about slaves that were still on the plantation in Glendora in 2009.
Okay.
And, yes. And
it's about the farm sharing, because I do know about that. That's still going on actually now when it comes to, like, people that deal in not real estate, but where they're buyers of land, and there's people that own plantations that grew from that, descendants of that, who are part of the plot sharing, that live there to this day, that are still plantations that are getting the land wiped from under their feet because of the type of deals they took because of racism and systematic racism with plot sharing and the contracts they signed. They're getting that swiped away. Does that kind of correlate with that as well?
I mean, it sounds way more positive than what we're talking about.
Well, I'm just saying that the concept of truth is it point out that stuff as well.
This is actually, they were actually slaves that was still on the plantation in 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not
talking about the, it almost sounds like a little justice has been served based on what you just said. But we're talking about, like, still real live, like, you know, horrible living conditions, being beaten, and being held captive. And that was going on in 2009. And then we also have Juanita on the panel as well, and she has been in touch and made some friends from that, you know, from that plantation and from the families of the people that was on the plantation, and she's been able to kind of give us an update on what's going on with it now. So that's what we've been talking about, and we've been trying to kind of encourage the people to go and watch the film, the documentary, The Cotton Picking Truth, that's on Amazon Prime. It was, you know, it was done over a decade ago, but it's still there, and you can get that information. And
okay.
We're also just kind of getting an update on what's going on now. So that's what we've been talking
okay.
about. And, you know, we just want the people to just to educate themselves on what's going on. It sounds like, you know, you've educated yourself on some of the good, the better things that's going on. But we
well,
wanted
no, it's
to,
not really not really that better. It actually was very sad what I saw, because it was people that are now the irony and sadness of it is that, one, they're living on the plantation from the crop sharing, but they got. And even being black free, living on the plantation, this is all they know. This is where they lived at, raised families at, and they don't have no ownership, just someone coming up under it, selling it, because they have like 20 or 40 owners and where everyone signs the same thing. And, you know, what one person says no, so there's a white person that sells it up under them that could come buy it through an auction, and they don't even know. It doesn't even matter. So it's actually quite sad. Again, it's terrible.
Yeah. You want to speak to that, Timothy?
It sounds like some stuff is going, that's been going on, stuff that's going on in Alabama, Georgia,
mm-hmm. yep.
you know, Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
sharecropping, which
yep.
is, you know, they call it, you know, it's legal, but it's 2020
yes.
or 2021.
Yes.
Another type of your oppressors keeping you oppressed.
Yes, and it's crazy because, like you said, it's legal. And that's, and you know, these are things that point out things like that you throw over, like when it comes to redlining. This is a form of that. This is almost, this is that. Like, and this is legal. Like you said, it's legal. There's nothing that's doing wrong. It's just a moral value where you're like, how can someone do this? It's always a get-rich-quick scheme, and like you're hurting people. It's just, like, it's terrible. Whereas, like, a Ponzi scheme, someone will get locked up. But that's like a, you know, white on white crime, not a blue collar crime. But you know, but it's terrible. So I'm all for support. I'll check out your documentary, the film you made. My question would be, is it like something you did out your own pocket, or is something that where your proceeds go to the people in the film? Do you have like people that are actual people you're documenting that are going through this, that you're going to support them? Or that's my question on that.
You know, we did it, we actually did it out of our own pocket. My son took his money and he changed his
life.
Well, bless you, man.
I'll support that, because you're black there as a black director and a filmmaker. We need more people like you. So even if it puts money for you, you deserve it, especially if it came out of your pocket to do it, to shed light. I support that. So I did hear a little bit of the website and your connection with that, but I just got to get the link again. I didn't really hear it clearly, but I heard you guys, the lady, talk about to help these people that are going through these situations. So if I can get that again.
One more time. Give him the information for your Facebook group, Unmute the Truth, Unmute the Cotton Picking Truth.
Yes. So we have a movement that you can join. It's called #unmute#thecottonpickingtruth#stillontheplantation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
and I
can search that up right there and grab you.
It's on Facebook.
It's a Facebook group, yes.
Okay, and I could donate through that and everything?
So we are going to, I am planning in the next couple of weeks here to do a GoFundMe so we can actually get people on the ground in Glendora, and maybe, I'm hoping, Timothy, it doesn't kill me right now, but I'm hoping we can get him to run his camera again, maybe one more time, so we could just get an update.
Well, I'll definitely make sure
going
I watch
on right
the film.
Now, visually, a visual update, and to assess what they need, what needs to be done, how we can help on the ground running.
Mm. All right. Well, I'll definitely look into it, and I'll definitely watch the film, because, you know, that's the start too. Bringing this brother's film
yes.
more to light, to be out for a decade and people, you know, went under the radar. These are the times where these things are coming back into light. You know, I caught myself watching a couple documentaries and films like, wow, this has been here for how long? And it's giving you that real truth. And it's like, it's what I've been missing, but it's been there, you know? So sometimes I get mad at myself, like, how did I miss this? So to give you that traction will definitely be a help too.
Yeah, it's a lot of information out here, and that's what we're doing today, unmuting the truth. You can go to YouTube at 2020 Vision and rewatch this episode right now. And you can get all of the information that you missed. But in the meantime, also you can go to Amazon Prime and watch The Cotton Picking Truth. And then you can join Juanita's Facebook page, Unmute The Cotton Picking Truth, and join the movement. And in this video, you'll also hear and see the number that you can call for Congress to help affect change, as well as an address to send donations. You were speaking about proceeds going to the people in Glendora and Mississippi that need help. So there's actual an address of one of the former slaves that was the plantation. Her name is Darlene Hill. So we sent you her, or you know, her address is on the screen as well. P.O. Box 43, Glendora, Mississippi 38928. So that's on the screen right now. So there's a few different ways that you can get involved to help. And we thank you for calling.
Thank you guys. Thank you all. Appreciate the information. Right. Be blessed.
Thank you, Rome. All right, you guys, we have came down to that those last few minutes of the evening. I definitely want to thank you guys both for being here. Hopefully next time we'll get the mayor on. But, you know, it's maybe a couple of steps at a time, not one step at a time. We're going a little faster than one step. We're going at least a couple of steps at a time. And we're going to get this. We're going to make this happen. I appreciate you guys for your bravery and taking out the time to do this. Juanita, I appreciate the initiative of starting this movement. It just got bigger. Definitely. It just got bigger. And just having the insight and the foresight, Timothy, of you and your son Tobias to do this film. It's a very, very important film. Nothing is ever done in vain. We say in the entertainment industry, you know, we may record a song or a film or do a production and put on a play, and, you know, the first day or the first week or the first year or the first 10 years, it may not get the notoriety that it deserves, but done in vain. It's never too late. Time is something that we measure ourselves up against, but it does not exist. So there's no time like the present, and I thank you for answering the call, because that's what you guys did. You answered the call for justice.
Well, you're answering the call right now, because
yes. You
are very courageous in even doing this on your show.
So what are some final words that you want to leave with the people, Timothy?
Well, when you watch the film, it's about resilience. The kind of people, we got to know who we are, number one. You know, we are kings, for real. I'm not just saying it's like hip-hop stuff. We're kings. We're made to be kings, so therefore, we need to act accordingly. The ladies, you are queens. And we need to treat you as such. You know, there's a myth that I think a good friend of mine named Amira, it's like, where do we come from? And, you know, I've been thinking about that over the course of the days. And, you know, there's verses and proverbs and everything, honor your father and mother. So why that word honor? So I won't honor another man, but yeah, I'm going to honor my mom. You know what I'm saying? And so where do we come from? Well, we come from the woman, because if it wasn't for the woman, I wouldn't be here. None of us would be here. So we you know, men out there, we first of all, we got to help each other. But if we don't know who we are, that's where it starts. We got to know who we are, and we got to act accordingly, and we got to get off of this foolery with some of this stuff calling our women bees and everything like that. We got to stop. You know, I don't care if you're, you know, Native American, that's us. You know, we are the same thing. We are different shades. There are some people that's running around here thinking they're Caucasian, and they're not Caucasian. They're us. They just don't know it. So the color right now is about green, and we have cowards that are in control. When I worked at Fox and NBC and everything, I just tell y'all a secret. As a producer, our number one job was to make you afraid so that you can be controlled, so we can control the masses. That's the job. That's what we get paid for. You know, that's why I'm so glad that I'm a filmmaker now and I don't have to do that mess anymore. And it's a lot of us out there of different colors and shades that will not do it anymore, that used to do it. So do your research on that. You know, so we are being led by cowardly politicians, you know, that we don't hear about. And when I say politicians, I'm not talking about a Benny Thompson or a congressman and these people that you hear about, the ones that you don't hear about. Those are the ones that change is going to come. And I'll just leave it there. Let's help each other. Just help each other.
Thank you, Cynthia. And where can they get in contact with you or see more of your films and productions?
Go to recordingdetroit.com. Go to recordingdetroit.com.
Okay. All right. I want to thank you for taking your time to come out and do this for us, as well as for having taken the initiative to making the film, that very important film. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Juanita, what would you like to leave the people with, and where can they contact you at?
They can contact me through the movement, basically, on Facebook, Unmute the Cotton Pick and Truth Still on the Plantation. I do encourage everyone to join us. And also, please watch the documentary if you haven't watched it yet, because there are real-time solutions that we can all be working on right now. It's all right there. It's coming from the experts' mouths in the documentary. And this was 10 years ago. Just think if America could have watched this 10 years ago. There's 20 KKK videos on Netflix. There's more, I mean, but they were not willing to do the Cotton Pick and Truth Plantation. So please watch it and take in those real-time solutions and help us. Let's move forward. We're all riding, like I said, we're all riding the great pains of change right now. And so let's just continue. It's not comfortable. I know it isn't. It's not comfortable for any of us, but we got to do it. It's got to be done. It's time. It's time. It's been over 200 years that the Due West Plantation has had a grip on Glendora, Mississippi, and most of the Delta there. And it's time to rectify this whole situation and to give those citizens the rights that we all have across the map.
Thank you. That's our Blog Talk Radio, Drip the Mic Network, counting us down. That we got 90 seconds. I want to thank you, Juanita, for coming on here. Tony, before we get off here, did you find her link to her Facebook that we can?
I did not. I couldn't find it. I didn't get the link.
Okay. Nobody can find it. Okay. is anyone able to go on Facebook?
I looked. I couldn't find it.
Okay. So we'll have it in the description. Cut off the Blog Talk so we won't get cut off, please. Okay. So Blog Talk is ending, but the